Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now!
Production presenting Black Urban America, and I'm your host for Black Urban America, and my name is Kenny Jones. Black Urban America airs Tuesdays evenings, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Saturdays, we have Provocative with Carlton Snee out of Philadelphia. He airs Saturdays evening from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. A couple of short little items. On June 26th show, we will have a debate on the self-image of the black woman and the black man between Lloyd Black and Samantha J. West. I think Mr. Black comes out of Maryland and Ms. West come out of Georgia. And these two, not only that, we're going to discuss the black family, black relationship between the black man and the black woman. It's a failure. It's a nigga. But coming up June 26th, but on June 12th and June 19th, we'll continue our Tuesday evening shows. As well as that, we have We Talk Production is reaching out to entrepreneurs, small business owners, self-employed people on sponsorship, as well as advertisement. If you are interested in getting your product and services exposed nationally and internationally, listen, We Talk Production have a listening audience over 20,000 people. And I know some of you small business on just startups need that advertisement. So if you're interested, call me at 404-482-4804. We made through another week, y'all, and we have Mr. Trump, Donald Trump, our president, is in Singapore, meet with Kim Jong. And they really got this press, and they really have the media attention, what have you. This is like a big event, but I want to know how this is going to benefit our communities. And that's is well to be seen. Now, I just want to mention some names. Stephon Clark, Terrence Crutcher, Philando Castile, Alton Sterling, Walter Scott, Eric Harris, Tony Robinson, Rumini Brisbane, Tamir Rice, Laquan McDonald, Michael Brown Jr., Eric Gardner, and the list go on and on and on. What all of these names have in common? They were all shot unarmed by police. And they are all young black. They all not all young. They are all black men. We're going to discuss that this evening with a gentleman out of Jersey. I've been knowing this gentleman for over 40 years. And we go way back, way back. And he is a retired police officer of 22 years. Now, even though he might be a police officer, he might be on, he really deep behind enemy lines. But he agreed to come on to discuss this. And he always had heart. He always had heart ever since I knew him. I've been knowing this man since I was 14 years old. So, without further ado, I'd like to bring on retired officer Michael Francis Sr. Good evening, Mike.
Good evening, Mr. Jones. How are you today?
All right. I know. How do you feel? I'm just going to jump right into the questioning. How do you feel that your brethren in blue has been for the past, I say, decade? Well, longer than that. Law enforcement and the black community have been having it's reported having a negative relationships and whatnot. How do you feel from a black man? Well, forget being a police officer, as a black man, these black men being shot down by your brethren.
Well, those aren't my brothers, and you know who my brothers are.
now, Michael.
Always keep it real.
You took an oath 22 years ago to be a part of this brotherhood. Now, you mean to tell me you were just there for the job for employment purposes or what? Are you guys supposed to be a brotherhood?
Brother, I know who my brothers are. Yeah, but the truth being told, police officers are way too aggressive all across the board, especially in our communities. And we were brought up in a certain way. We were brought up to be accountable for our actions.
Mm-hmm.
And we had great family upbringing and parents, grandparents, brothers, sisters. We were always taught how to react with respect. But what's going on today is simply our youth have to rein themselves in, because the majority of them are excellent. But we have a few that have to be brought under control because they act other than a humanly manner. But to put it in a proper perspective, we have to realize that aggression in the black community has been before we were born, actually.
Mm-hmm.
The police felt like they could just come in our community and do whatever they wanted. And we can't stand for that. One of the reasons that I joined the police department, you cannot monitor any organization unless you're monitoring from within. stuff. First and foremost, you have to be within to monitor. And I made sure, and I did to the best of my ability, watch everything, all interactions, especially listening to the dispatches on the radio, because it was a time, you know, a few times that I heard a call being dispatched to another unit, and I thought it best for me to be there to monitor that situation if I wasn't on an active call. So that's one of the ways. And we have to start bringing up the type of young black men and women that can qualify to get on the police force, because that's a major problem.
Well, let me get back to what you said a minute ago about the police having too much aggression in our neighborhood. It was cited by Michelle Alexander, who wrote the new Jim Crow law, that he discussed about this judge that differed with a new policy that police should be free to conduct warrantless searches whenever they suspect someone is a criminal, believing that dispensing with the Fourth Amendment warrant requirement risks opening the door to the same abuses that gave rise to the American Revolution. Now, Mike, let me ask you something. You mean to tell me in today's society, with all of the changes that happened in America over the 50 years, you mean to tell me why do police have these rights if they are suspicious, just suspicious? They don't have evidence on anything. They are just suspicious of something. They could come into your home without a warrant.
Well, the first and foremost, Kenny, that's going into a whole other area, but I'm going to touch on that. We have the right to say we will not consent to a search. You have that right. And don't come to my house unless you have a warrant. Don't ask me any questions, because I don't have to answer any questions once I identify who I am with identification, with full ID. And see, people forget that they do have rights. You know, I was at a conference a few years ago, and I was fortunate enough to be in an area close to where Mr. Ernesto Miranda was taken advantage of. And the thing is, because of that, that's why we have Miranda's warning. You have the right to remain silent. You have the right to speak to an attorney. And the problem is we need to have access to attorneys on call, which there is available. We'll talk about that on another show. But people need to understand they do not have the right to conduct a warrantless search.
Okay. Well, Mike, okay. I have my own perspective. I need to hear from you. You talk of why are the police and the criminal justice system so aggressive toward black men? I mean, like in the Waffle House shooting, the young white boy that was caught in the woods had AR-14 and a handgun. He would take it without incident. The Parkland shooting, the white boy, again, he was handled with care, taken to the precinct. The white boy that shot up the church in South Carolina a couple years back. My God, they took him to Burger King. All I just want to know is why are black suspects treated differently from white suspects? Why are police so aggressive towards black men? You know, I just want to know. And most of all, it's white police. It's not black police officers. It's white police. Just in the state of Georgia last week, a white state trooper hit a kid with his car, with his cruiser. Wow. Just hit him. I mean, the kid was in the wrong now. That I'm not I'm going to try to justify the kid's action. The kid was in the wrong, but he ran them down with his police cruiser. Why is
and he
so should have much,
been indicted.
You speak of a question. Why is there so much? Why are we handled? Why are our communities in the United States of America treated differently from other communities in the United States of America?
Kenny, the truth be told, they think it's two sets of laws, and we need to start making sure that every officer is accountable for his actions. I've heard people that were police officers, and I've seen clippings on the news about police officers saying, oh, I reacted this way because I was afraid. If you're afraid, then you don't need to be a police officer. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of other jobs that you can do. You understand what it is. You took the oath. You know exactly what you can and can't do, but you feel like the justice system is rigged, so to speak, against the blacks, so you can do anything you want to us. And then when we go to court, they look at you like, oh, yeah, he was okay to do that. But that's not okay. And we need to make sure that they're being held accountable for every action they take against us.
Do you think, I know you work with many white police officers. What are their perceptives of us? What is their perception of us? What do they think about us? I mean,
in my department that I worked in, I didn't really find too many that were too aggressive. But I remember an incident in the police academy where we were sitting down for lunch and just, you know, we all sat together and ate. But we could see who would be aggressive, because a lot of people aren't really cut out for police work. You know, that's the first and foremost. But then you have generational guys who've been coming in. They listen to their grandfather, their father, their uncle, their brother. They all join the police force. Now they sit home, listen to these stories, and they figure, oh, well, we can do like the old days. Oh, no, you cannot, especially in this day and time. This is the video age, so...
Yeah.
Anytime you see anything happening, pull your phone out and record it. I don't care who you are or where you are. Pull it out. That's your right to do that.
Now, before we go on, I just have to say this. Okay, all you people that are listening through your iPods and iPads and whatnot, if you have a comment on a statement, dial 909-265-9215 and press 1 if you have a question or a comment. Now, Mike, are you aware of the Stop It Frisk law?
Yes, I've heard of that over there, especially in your area.
Yeah. Well, in New York, I mean, it has calmed down in the past, I say 3 years, but when Rudy Giuliani became mayor back in 1992, his first act was to implement the Stop It Frisk law. I mean, you could be walking down a block. I mean, back in those days, Mike, you know, Brooklyn was a little tough and everything. So every area, you know, has negative blocks. Every neighborhood has negative blocks and whatnot. Oh boy, don't be caught in that neighborhood. Don't be caught when they get ready to do a sting or shut down a block. Don't be caught up in there because they stop everyone. And God forbid if you didn't have an ID. What and Jeff Sessions a year ago wanted to bring in a similar act nationally. That means, oh, damn, Mike, we got some calls here, Mike. I just want to say this. Nationally, a Stop and Frisk law. I mean, Is that also legal? Is that also breaking our Fourth Amendment?
What you guys need to do is make sure you get to your local officials, and I'm sure periodically they come out and have community meetings, and you can liaison with their offices. You need to get them up and running, put the fire to their feet, because that is unconstitutional, in my opinion. Now, I'm a resident of New Jersey. I'm not a resident of New York, but you better not put your hands on me when I come over there to New York.
whoa! This is nothing. This is not my. This happened last week. This happened last week in Brooklyn. There was an off-duty black police officer, right, sitting in his car, minding his own business. Two white police officers approach him. So he said, "I'm on the job." Everybody know internationally I'm on the job means, yo, I'm one too. You know, he even told him, I'm about to go and show you my badge ID. Show him his ID. They called the sergeant that was the supervisor, the sergeant, and they handcuffed him. And they tried to say, hey, he said, well, why are you going through this? He said, you let us on police chase. Police chase? I was sitting here. Took him down to the precinct. They let him go, but he got a summons for not showing his ID. He's a black police officer.
He did show his identification?
So, yes, he showed him his identification and badge. I forgot that. It was in the New York Daily News. Now, all I'm saying is that in your 22 years, in your 22-year career on Jersey City Department of Police, have you ever engaged in any unfair practices because of your skin color?
Of course. If I'm not in uniform, I'm just another black man. Don't get that twisted. Don't think. I'm quick to keep my ID. I keep my ID in my ashtray. And I'm fortunate enough that I do have one of my old skull caps with my logo and stuff on it in the car. But I'm quick to say, listen, up, police. And then they say, oh, you police, I'm retired. I let them know, because anything can happen. It can escalate in a heartbeat, Kenny. And we have to protect ourselves, because as not just as black people, but as if you're a parent listening to this, you have to make sure you tell your children exactly what to do when they're stopped by the police.
But Mike, I just want to know, you see, I have a heart, before I get to that, let's take this call and see if he or she, this person will ask you anything. The last four numbers is 6728. You on the air? Do you have a comment or a question?
Yeah. What's going on, brother? This Lloyd.
Hey, what's up, brother Lloyd?
Oh man, I was just listening to the program. I really didn't have nothing to add to the show. I was just checking things out, see how the conversation was going.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you mean to tell me you have the same fears? I want to say fears. Let me say this word. You have the same concern when you are out of uniform, or when you were on the force, when you're out of uniform, going about doing your chore, spending time with your family and everything. You mean to tell me you have the same concerns as I do with police presence?
Of course. There's no such thing as a good old boys club when you're black. When you're black, they perceive you a certain way. They approach you a certain way. And we did diversity training, which was a help, but it's still you have to really make sure that you're safe.
Wow. Wow. So, why are certain police officers afraid when interacting with black men? I mean, even though our black women get beat up too, even though our black women get harassed too, but we get gunned down. And I just want to know, why are police so... Well, let me give you an example. In Toronto, when this guy ran over 12 people, killed 12 people with his van, and injured another 10 people, on the scene, did not shoot. He begged the guy, my guy now, to drive his wife, he begged the guy to please get on the ground. And the white guy would tell the police, oh, shoot me, shoot me. He says, no, please get on the ground and whatnot. So, now in that incident, he had probable cause to shoot this guy because this guy just killed 12 people. Now, if that would have been a black man, what do you think that would have happened? What do you think would have happened?
He would have been shot within 12 seconds.
So why, again, it behooves me that there's such, I mean, why are these police officers so afraid of our presence? You know, I'm talking about black men primarily.
Well, to be honest, you have some that there's no other way to put it. They're cowards. And you give a coward some authority, now he wants to exert his authority on whoever he can with the least resistance. So the first people that they look towards is black, Hispanic, Latino, anyone other than them.
Okay, let's see if this caller has something to say. Yes, last four digits, 7947, you are on the air. Hello? I guess that's another one that just listened to the program. Yes. If you have something to say, just press one. Let's get back to the relationship between the black community and the law enforcement community. Do you ever feel that you're caught in the middle sometimes?
Oh, no. See, you have to understand, the law is the law. But you do have what's called discretion. So there are situations that you can encounter where we go in New Jersey by our state attorney general's guidelines. And if there's something that's in question, you detain the person. You don't handcuff them. And you have the sergeant or the lieutenant that's on duty respond. But there are certain things in our state attorney general guidelines that say we must act irregardless to the situation. There are certain times we must react. There are times where there's mandatory arrests. But it doesn't have to be where you have to beat somebody. You know, it goes all into your training. We have had excellent training. We did scenarios where we tape our trainings and review everything. We're judged not just by our instructors, but our fellow officers. And you need that. You guys have something over there in New York that's really excellent, that civilian review board I think you still have.
Right.
We don't have that here in New Jersey, but we do have grand jury hearings. And we hold police officers here to a higher standard, and we're taught that in the police academy. You know the law, but as an officer, a sworn officer of the law, you're going to be held to a higher standard. I'll give you one quick example, Kenny. We were doing our self-defense training in the police academy. And so before we start, our instructor came, and our commander, the lieutenant, came out. And he said to us, he said, listen, we are training you a certain way. We may be called to court to testify against you if you use something other than what we show you you can use. The only thing we could use was call our side handle baton. But the instrument that they showed us, maybe some people aren't familiar with this, but I know you and I are, a blackjack.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started, they had a little slot on my trouser for a blackjack when I first started.
I remember
now,
the blackjack.
1994.
I remember the blackjacks. They stopped that. Now they don't have to use blackjack. They could just go straight to the gun when dealing with us. Do you think? All right. Let me ask you this. Do you think the black community is patrolled differently? Like on the New York NYPD card that said to protect and to serve in a professional manner, something like that. Do you think that the black community is treated fairly? Do they patrol our community in protecting or serving, or they patrolling our community, you know, like the state?
Well, there are certain areas that the police are a little too aggressive. And if you're fearful, I'm sure once you pass your probation, you can put in for a transfer if you don't want to work in a certain area. But we have to hold them accountable for how they act when they come in our area. First and foremost, they want us to show full respect. They must show full respect. We have here in Jersey, especially in my city, we have an internal affairs unit that has a picture of every single person that wears a uniform here. And they're open for complaints and having everything brought up for review. And if you go down the road where you're called in too many times, you may end up getting fired. Because
well, hold on,
Mike,
I'm sorry to disrupt you and everything you thought. Mike, in these police shootings, there's never been an officer convicted for killing a black man.
There's only a few. There have been a few. I'm familiar with a few police pages that are on Facebook, and I'm on three different ones, and I've seen a few, and it's grossly under the number that should have been prosecuted. I'll be honest with you, because it's just outright murder.
Yes. So, Do are there some white police officers that feel the way you do?
Yeah. I've been fortunate enough to ride with a lot of great officers. And early on in my career, I remember the training that they instilled in me. And the police academy training is one thing, but your training on the street is a whole nother thing. Actually, before I retired, I was what's called a field training officer. And you will train the new rookie police officers, and they have a whole system of things that they have to be taught that is not stuff that they learned in the academy, just the book knowledge. You have to learn street knowledge.
Which you already had.
Well, I was fortunate enough to have good people train me when I came on. Because you got to remember, once you get it through the academy, you still have ongoing training. And now we have, in the last, I would say, maybe 15 years, they started field training officers with the new recruits.
Mike, I guess that training is not working. They have culturally diverse training all over the not in every every folder makes sure of that. You know, the ex attorney general for Obama. He made sure he came in there like a bulldozer and implemented diversity training all over the United States in every precinct, law enforcement agency. And I am looking back, and I even had some encounter with police officers. White and black. I want everybody to know, I'd rather be stopped by a black police officer on a traffic stop than the other guy. And don't you know, back in the early 90s, late 80s, they had an article in the New York Times that you had the 50% chance if you're stopped at a traffic stop by a police officer in Brooklyn, you have a 50% chance of getting out there alive. Only thing I'm saying is that this diversity training is not working in our communities. It's not. I mean, I took diversity training also in my industry and everything. It got to be different. Or they just, as soon as they leave the class, it just leave their ears, what's between their ears. Because of some of the things I heard police officers call other people of color, it's not appropriate. It's not appropriate.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely.
I mean, they calling women the B word. I mean, women old enough to be grandmothers. We ain't talk about the teeny boppers. We talk about women that are old enough to be grandmothers or their mothers. And some of the language that is used by police officers, I mean, you talk about diversity training, what heck, being called the B word, that's borderline sexual harassment. You know, and
yeah.
Some of the words, but some of the labels, I remember one time there was a shooting on Farmer Street in front of Mount Pismo. And it didn't hit anyone, but it hit the church van. But kids were sitting inside. And I happened to be out there and everything. I think I was coming home from work. I was off there. Anyway, I don't know. I'm going to visit my mother or something. Anyway, I was standing next to a tall, big, white cop. Had three stripes. He said,
"Hey, Sergeant."
And I'm going to try to quote him because I'll take it back what he said. He said, "Oh, I get angry if children are put in danger, you know, but if those gangbangers kill each other, I really don't care. Let them kill each other." And I want to tell him, you stupid nitwit, they're kids too.
Yeah.
They're kids too. They're 15, they're 14, they're not grown men. You know,
but Kenny, you got to remember, that's the hell of a mentality for him to have.
I would take it back. I mean, you know how my mouth dropped wide open when I can't get any air, right? My mouth dropped wide open. And I said, in my mind, I didn't want to say anything. I didn't want to debate him, confront him, or anything, but I would take it back. And I said, but this is the thinking of one police officer. I want to, what is to think of the whole department?
Right. And the sergeant should be held even to a higher standard than the officer from the description you gave. He was a sergeant.
Yes. He was a sergeant. Big guy. Big guy. Looked like an officer lineman. Big guy. You know? I said, wow. Really? And I mean, and there are numerous. New. How about that time? Same block, NAACP local chapel was meeting, and it was coming out to church, and like two undercover cars just harassed them. You know? Stop the fence? You know, they just gave it a name, but they have been stopping frisking black folks for centuries.
Yes, yes.
Now, this comes to the issue of profiling. Why do we have to be profiled? Especially on that New Jersey Turnpike.
Well, thank God that they have the New Jersey State Troopers now. Anytime that they activate their lights and siren, their dashboard camera automatically comes on. And
but see, we didn't have passports. That's just new. That's five years old.
That's very new.
That's very new.
I'm going to tell you the real truth about that, and this is my feeling about that. Too many state troopers are trying to go for the award Trooper of the Year. So, in order for them to even be in the running, they had to do some stuff that wasn't legal. They had some stops that weren't legal. But the problem is, if they would have instituted, instead of having just one Trooper of the Year, a Trooper of the Year from every police barracks the state troopers had, that would have cut that down. And I granted, they do have a hard job. I would never be a state police officer here in the state of New Jersey or New York, because they have a stretch of area to cover that's way too far before they can get any assistance.
Mike, nobody bothers them.
No, I'm talking about
nobody bothers us. We make a 12% of the population, and we're 80% of the stop.
Yeah, that's a problem everywhere in America. But now that the state troopers, what they're doing now, I have one of my fraternity brothers. He's a retired state trooper, but they are feeling more complaints now. I don't know if you remember when Christy Whitman was still governor here, and one of the head of state police.
I remember.
Yeah, the head of the state police came out and said he's going to do what he wanted to do, and she had to fire him.
But you can't just go against
the guidelines.
But he was lying. He wasn't lying.
But from the actions of
your brethren, they do what they want to do.
Yeah.
Including murder.
That's sad.
Including
and
murder.
See, what we have to do as a community, we have to start galvanizing ourselves. We have to go, even if we have to start at a church level group or a civic association group, we have to start telling them, listen, we're not having this. We're not having this. We need to get in front of the mayor. We need to get in front of the commissioner. And in my case, it would be the chief of police. And now we have a public safety officer. But we have to let them know we're going to hold their feet to the fire. And we can help nip this in the bud, because we can tell them, the elected officials, listen, if you don't take action, we'll elect somebody else. We need action taken. We have that power as people if we galvanize ourselves.
You just brought up something, and I forgot to ask you. Do you think things would be different if we have more black commissioners, more black chiefs? You think things will be different in our neighborhoods?
I'm sure to a degree it would. It wouldn't make it non-existent, but to a degree it would, because the higher ups don't want to have to keep answering questions about the conduct of their officers. So if there was a problem officer in a certain precinct and he has to go to the civic association or the block association, he'll get rid of them. Because they do have the power to do that. And that's another thing that's very important in your area of New York. Get to that police precinct, get to know the commander, let them know, listen, we don't want certain officers that are too aggressive in our community. We don't mind the police being here and holding us to a standard of humanization, but we do not want people that are over-aggressive in our communities with our women, children, and our babies.
But then there will be no police officers.
Kenny, it's not, all of them are not bad, but the ones that are bad are extremely bad.
Well, Mike, on that note, man, I just want to thank you for coming on the show. I'll go invite you back. I got to look at the calendar, because I know you need more time and everything. There's a couple of things that it will take us way past the hour and everything. And I just want to thank you, man. And another thing, for I just want to thank you for your service. I want to thank you for your service. You've been, I watched you from afar. high standards of representation of our community on the police force.
And Kenny, I had to do that because our late great Glenn Cunningham, he started a tradition of excellence among black officers. And I didn't want to be the one that they say, that's the reason we're not hiring any blacks. Because the way I carried myself represented us as an entire community.
Yo, Mike, man, I'm going to be in touch. I'm going to reschedule you for another day, an invite. That's cool.
Anytime, man, and then I'll talk to you. I'll tell you some other subjects we need to touch on where we can help people dealing with the police also that's not on a level where they need access to certain things, and I'll be able to we can set up a whole show with that.
Hey, we can have a series. We can have a series. Don't worry. I'll be in contact with you. Just give me a week, because I got this. This thing coming up on June 26th. This debate.
Yeah, I heard that
up.
Debate.
Yeah. 26th, boy. That's going to be hot. Woo, I can't wait.
Oh, yes. I'll definitely have my ear on listening to that.
All right, Mike, man. Have a good one, man.
All right. And thank you for inviting me.
All right. I am shocked that there are black police officers that are thinking like us. I'm glad there are black police officers that are trying to change the atmosphere and change the mentality of how law enforcement interact with the African-American community. But I just want to say this. I think it won't change. As long as we have white supremacy, it will continue. It will continue. Okay. We can meet with the vice president. It will continue. And you know what Donald Trump said last year at a law enforcement convention? Beat up the thugs. And you know thugs is a code word for whom? Black men. But maybe. I don't know. I'm optimistic. Maybe. But it hasn't worked in 100 years. I don't know what we're going to do in the next few weeks, in the next year. And with that, y'all have a good week. This is Kenny Jones. I am because we are. We are because I am. I'm out.
Hold it now.
Get me to play games with my head. What the judge said, put me in.
tell them bad.